Hello, this is Dr. Nicholas Ellen, Senior Pastor of Community of Faith Bible Church. We thank you for taking the time to join us this week as we seek to learn God's Word so that we may live His Word and love others through His Word. We pray that God will use this message to transform your life. Now, let's dive in to God's Word. As we have been looking at a biblical view of ethnicity, racism, and justice, we spent the first 4 weeks just trying to understand and unfold the standard that God has set. We started with looking at the Creator Himself, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three persons, one God. And we begin to understand that as the Trinity is a community, He created us equal. He created us different. He created us unique. And as we understand that reality, we begin to see that there is a way that we need to embrace our ethnicity, to understand that God made us this way and that He created all these multi-ethnic groups. We're one race, human race, but we're multi-ethnic. And as we understood these realities, we started to recognize that God had a way He wanted us to relate, and that was in the way of love, a community that reflects the reality of how the Father, Son, Holy Spirit relates together. And so with all of this, we've come to recognize that in all of our ethnicity, we are to appreciate it, not worship it, not to hold it up as a god or to hold it as less than, because we're created equal with one another and we're called to a loving relationship one with another. But we've discovered that sin has impacted, and as a result of sin impacting these relationships, we now come to the way that sin has impacted, and that is through one means or many means, and one means by which it is impacted is through this thing we call racism. Now, racism is not the sole problem of man. It is a sinful problem, but it's something that in this culture has been an issue over and over and over again, and we've not really begun to understand it from a biblical perspective, in my opinion. We have politicized it. We have made it about psychological things. We've made it sociological, but we've not really thought about it from a biblical perspective of what is racism. Now, we won't find the word racism in the Bible, but I do want to give you some working definitions that we have seen as it relates to racism, and then I want us to look biblically at the origin of the word that would more describe the actual practice of racism. In other words, where we can see racism coming from as we look at it from a biblical perspective. Now, one of the ones that I really appreciate is John Piper in his book, Bloodlines. He gives us a working definition of racism. He says, racism can be defined as the belief that one people group is more valuable than another and the practice of distinguishing one people group as more important than another. That is an excellent definition of racism. But there's another definition by Douglas R. Sharp. He wrote a book called No Partiality, The Idolatry of Race and the New Humanity. And he gives a definition of racism. Here's what he says. Fundamentally, racism has to do not merely with real or perceived differences between people groups, but the value and significance of these differences. It has to do with presumption of superiority. Now, let's think about that for a moment. Presumption of superiority over people groups and the conduct of personal and social life that manifests this presumption in personal, communal, and socio-cultural ways. Racism has to do with beliefs, actions, and structures that centralize by marginalizing others on the basis of supposed differences. Wow, that is a lot to take in by Mr. Sharp. Let me read that again. Fundamentally, racism has to do not merely with real or perceived differences between people groups, but with the value and significance of these differences. It has to do with the presumption of superiority over other people groups and the conduct of personal and social life that manifests this presumption in personal, communal, and socio-cultural ways. Racism has to do with beliefs, actions, and structures that centralize some by marginalizing others on the basis of supposed differences. So if we take these two big pictures of racism,
Even though the word racism is not in the Bible, the concept can be understood as a practice of what we call unbiblical partiality, i.e., ungodly bias towards people groups that results in elevating one people group and demeaning another people group, i.e., a respect of persons not sanctioned by God. So we do not see the word racism in the Bible, but the concept, we can trace it back again to unbiblical partiality, having a respect of persons that is not sanctioned by God, a ungodly bias towards people groups that results again in elevating one people group and demeaning another people group. We see this all throughout the Bible. Now, with that in mind, I want us to begin to think about some key perspectives about racism, seeing that even though we don't see the word, this unbiblical partiality, this ungodly bias, this unsanctioned respect of persons is, again, not sanctioned by God. We see this and we can walk back through scriptures and see where, again, this concept is being realized. So with that in mind, let's look at the first perspective about this. Racism exposes, if you will, a misguided and unbiblical view about other people. And we see this throughout the scripture. Looking at the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 28, and verses 34 to 35. Look at what it says. And he said to them, here is Peter talking, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. Notice this racism is a misguided, unbiblical view of other people. Now notice what he says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 35. Here's Peter again. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Racism exposes to us a misguided and unbiblical view of other people, a respect of persons not sanctioned by God, a partiality not sanctioned, a unbiblical partiality, if you will, resulting in elevating one people group and demeaning another. Notice in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, it says, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Look at the purpose clause. Because of the Cushite woman whom he married. And then it repeats itself. For he had married a Cushite woman. When we see racism, this, again, respect of persons not sanctioned by God, this ungodly bias towards other people groups, this practice unbiblical partiality, if you will, you will begin to see an unbiblical view of other people groups. But the second thing I want you to understand about racism is that racism breeds division between people groups that can lead to a disdain for or a pursuit of dominance over or a demise of other people groups. Let me say that again. Racism breeds division between people groups that can lead to a disdain for or a pursuit of dominance over or a demise of other people groups. We see this as we start with Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 13. Now, what's happening here, again, Peter had been spending time with the Gentiles, but then when certain Jews came in, he withdrew himself as to say that there's a difference, there is a disdaining, there is a, we should not be associating with you. There was, again, a looking at as one is less than, a disdaining of one, and a dividing, if you will, because of a belief system that one is greater than the other. Notice what it says, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of some men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and separate himself, fearing those from the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Racism breeds division between people groups. Notice this in Genesis chapter 43, looking at verses 30 to verses 32. I have to admit, when I went and researched this, I was shocked when I read this. Here is Joseph, who is second to Pharaoh in Egypt, the one that God used to not only save the Egyptians, but to bless those in the region. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 43, verse 30 to verse 32. Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over his brother. And he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And he controlled himself and said, "Serve the meal." So they served him by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is loathsome to the Egyptians. Racism breeds division between people groups that can lead to a disdain for other people groups. Notice in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8 to verse 11, it says, "Now a new king around over Egypt who did not know Joseph, he said to his people, 'Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply, and in the event of war, they will also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land.' So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor, and they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramses." Racism breeds division between people that leads to a disdain for or a pursuit of dominance over other people groups. Notice in the book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 6, remember the story of Haman and his issue that he had with Mordecai. Let's review that issue and let's see where there is racism that is being bred here. Let's see where there is a respect of persons that is not sanctioned, a ungodly bias, if you will, a unbiblical partiality. It says, "After these events, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, to the Agagite, and advanced him and established his authority over all the princes who were with him. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, 'Why are you transgressing the king's command?' Now it was when they had spoken daily to him and he would not listen that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's reasons would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage to him, Haman was filled with rage, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him who the people Mordecai were. Therefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus." Again, racism breeds division between people groups that can lead to a disdain for or a pursuit of dominance over or a demise of other people groups. But the third point I want you to understand about this, as we're looking at these realities, God is no respecter of persons. Unbiblical partiality demonstrates a respect of persons not sanctioned by God. Therefore, any unbiblical partiality is a contradiction to who God is and how he wants us as Christians to live. Therefore, racism, when you understand it in this context, is a contradiction to who God is and how he wants us as Christians to live. Look at some of these verses that show that God is no respecter of persons and how, again, he does not want us to operate in this manner. Romans chapter 2, verse 9 to verse 11, it says, "There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." In Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, notice Paul's description here when he's talking about his experience as he is looking at his encounter with who we would call the leaders of the Christian faith at that time. He says, "But for those who were of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality." Well, those of reputation contributed nothing to me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. In James chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 4, it says, "My brothers and sisters, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes to you in assembly with a gold ring and is dressed in bright clothes, and a poor man is in dirty clothes also comes in, and you pay special attention to one who is wearing the bright clothes or the bright clothes and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there and sit down by my footstool,' have you not made distinctions among people and become judges with evil motives?" James chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 9, it says, "If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." Romans chapter 12, verse 16, he says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." As we understand this, let's think about this. Racism can be defined as, again, the belief that one people group is more valuable than another, and the practice of distinguishing one people group as more important than another. We also understood that racism has to do not merely with real or perceived differences between people groups, but with the value and significance of these differences. It has to do with the presumption of superiority over other people groups and the conduct of personal and social life that manifests this presumption in personal, communal, and social cultural ways. It has to do with beliefs, actions, and structures that centralize some by marginalizing others on the basis of supposed differences. Whereas the word racism is not in the Bible, the concept can be understood as a practice of unbiblical partiality, ungodly bias towards people groups that result in elevating people groups and demeaning another people group. It is a respect of persons not sanctioned by God. And as we understood that, we see as we've looked at these passages, racism exposes a misguided and unbiblical view about other people. Racism breeds division between people groups that can lead to the disdain for a pursuit of dominance over and a demise of other people groups. This no racism or this racism or this respect of persons, God is not. He has none of this. Unbiblical partiality we saw demonstrated. It's a respect of persons that is not sanctioned by God. So we take all of these passages and we take these particular precepts that we've seen in Scripture. And I want to draw just a few implications for us as we deal with this ugly thing called racism, as we understand the definition and the detriment of this reality. I want you to understand this as we glean some things just by pondering what we've read in Scripture and definitions. The belief that one people group is more valuable than another demonstrates a lack of love for God and a lack of love for others. God did not create one people group more valuable than another. As we have been studying the Scriptures up to this point, we recognize that as being created in the image of God, He created from one man and one woman all people groups that exist and discovered or described as well as prescribed where their boundaries would take place. In God's sovereignty, we are one human race that are multi-ethnic. This is God's doing, and we were created in His image, which means that one people group is not more valuable than another. So when that happens, racism, ungodly partiality, it demonstrates a lack of love for God and a lack of love for others. The practice of distinguishing one people group as more important than another demonstrates a lack of love for God and a lack of love for others. When we start centralizing some people groups by marginalizing other people groups on the basis of supposed differences, this demonstrates a lack of love for God and a lack of love for others. When there's a demeaning of one people group and an elevating of another people group, this demonstrates a lack of love for God and a lack of love for others. If we were to pull all this together, here's what we start to see. Where there is racism, one's evaluation of other people groups is limited to one's personal experience or their misguided belief systems. Think about what we've read in those passages above and how their personal experiences and misguided belief systems had led to this ugly, if you will, partisan, this ugly partiality that we see. This kind of stuff results in one having a superior view of their own people and a demeaning of other people groups. Where there is racism, one's emotions and one's desires are governed by misguided ideas about one's own people group and misguided interpretations of personal experiences in other people groups. We saw that in the passages above where this just oozed, where the emotions and desires are governed by these misguided ideas about one's own people group and others. But we also, as we think about the passages and the perspectives we've heard above, where there is racism, one will make other people groups the source of their problems, and the ridding or the marginalizing of that group as the solution to their problems. As we look at those passages, we begin to see how that was unfolded above. Where there is racism, there is criticism or condemnation of one's own people group for connecting with or marrying people outside of one's own people group. We saw that where Miriam had a problem because Moses married a woman that was not part of their ethnicity. If we were to take all of what we've understood and glean from the passages above and the principles that we have researched and talked about together, racism stems from a misguided view of oneself, of God, and other people groups. Racism is a practice of unbiblical partiality, a respect of persons not sanctioned by God. So where we see this racism, we may not see the word in Scripture, but we see the principle tied back again to this unbiblical partiality, this respect of persons not sanctioned by God. As we are exploring this together, I pray that you begin to see how this is such an awful perspective to have, and it doesn't matter what people group you belong to, this does not honor God. Let me give you some insight. I want you to listen to this in reflection and just think about this as we close this particular session. And we're going to continue to explore understanding racism as we've just begun this session with the definition and detriment. We're going to build on it. But I want you to reflect on these words for a moment. Racism is an affront to God because it redefines God's creation into the image created by man, thereby seeking to make man big and God small. This, ladies and gentlemen, is not a political problem or a social problem. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a sin problem of the heart. That's why laws can be made, but transformation of the heart and submission to God and reconciliation to the new order of existence created in Christ Jesus our Lord will be the only way we will ever be able to conquer this thing called racism, this unbiblical partiality, this respect of persons not sanctioned by God. Therefore, if you think about it, saints, only Christians have the ability to show the world the cure and the calling of life that can, again, be the way to free us from racism through the salvation and the sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah for the Lamb of God. As we walk in the grace that saves us, as we walk in the grace that sanctifies us, as we walk in the grace that empowers us to serve Him by loving others accordingly, this, ladies and gentlemen, is the only solution to that which has been reduced to a political, a social problem, when ultimately racism is an affront to God because it's a sin problem. Redefining God's creation into the image of man, making man big and God small. That's not political, that's not social, that's sin. And only transformation of one's heart can address this at its ultimate conclusion of being dealt with. I want to quote you something that I read from Ken Ham and Charles Ware in their book, One Race, One Blood. Listen to this quote. It says, "Because of our culture's racist roots, because of the way the world thinks, because of the influence of Darwinian thinking, we have been programmed to look at the exterior rather than the interior of a person, and to make broad judgments based on what we see. Had you not been programmed that way in this culture, you wouldn't see the differences as you do. Different cultures are programmed in different ways. Our biases and our prejudice show themselves in different ways, but in every case, it is the world and our sinfulness rather than science and the Bible that drives our personal racism." My brothers and my sisters, I pray that as we understand this thinking about racism, as we start to see it biblically for what it is and what it is not, that we begin to see and look at our own hearts and see where we have in either intentionally or unintentionally, where we have found ourselves with a unbiblical partiality, with a ungodly bias, with a respect of persons not sanctioned by God, that led us to, in one way, value one people group above another and to practice distinguishing one as more important than another, where we've allowed these particular presumptions to make us think that something is superior and something is inferior, and that we have somehow, in certain ways, by practice, whether intentionally or unintentionally, begin to centralize our ethnicity as the center of the world, marginalizing others and magnifying our own. I pray, saints, that you and I will explore this reality together. And as we walk through this together, we begin to think through the reality of the solution as we come together as brothers and sisters who are multi-ethnically created to show the world what it means to live as one people group that are multi-ethnic to the glory of God and the blessing of one another.
We hope that you've been encouraged by hearing God's Word. If you would like to contact us, you may do so by dialing 713-510-4021, or you can go online to www.cofhouston.com. This is Dr. Nicholas Ellen saying God bless you and have a great day.